This is Gospel for the Glory of Jesus with Bishop Todd. So glad to be with you. We're just going to get right into it. We're going to deal with the imperative, the command of Jesus that we must be born again. We must be born again. Let's pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, bless us now. Amen. All right. You know those short prayers are for public, for the public, but private prayer should be long and deep and stirring between you and your Father through the Holy Spirit. And I thank God that we have that kind of relationship that we can talk all night if we have to. And I appreciate the patience that God has with me in regards to how he has led, guided, and directed my path to the point where I really, 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 really think about and really contemplate all of the things and doctrines and teachings that I was taught from a little boy all the way up to now, where I said, Lord, I got to unlearn some of the stuff that I've learned so that I can learn what you want me to learn. So I've been doing that for the last 2 years, and I realized that the Lord wants to bring truth to you as we get older and deep enough to understand him in a different way than when we were younger. So I understand the Bible in a more defined way, because now he lets me see it from his perspective. And I appreciate that he's allowing me to grow as I allow him to grow in me. So let's go to John 3:16, and it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, as I read that verse, and I think about who he was dealing with, someone who was supposed to be a professor, a doctor, someone who understood the scriptures, he understood the Hebrew. It was his tongue. He understood the Aramaic, and he knew all the languages. But even in his understanding of the Torah, the principles and teachings of God, he did not know God. And when he saw Jesus, he didn't realize he was talking to God himself. And a lot of us, we approach the Bible as if Jesus is not God. And so that's why many of us today still don't really hear him. And so many times Christ said, and we see in the Word, through his Word, that the Father was always trying to let us know, let the disciples know. Hear ye him when he was baptized. This is my son. You know, my only begotten son, in whom I'm well pleased. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, he told the disciples, the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, hear ye him. Don't worry about Moses and Elijah. Hear him. And I want you today to understand, and as you read and study the scriptures for yourself, thank God that we can do that. Hear ye him. We must be born again. And in this new birth, it says again, let's look at 13. It says, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God doesn't want any of us to perish because we have a lack of knowledge. That's what perish is, to die because you didn't understand what it is to believeth on the Son of Man. What does it mean to believeth? What is God trying to teach us? What does it mean to believeth? It's really God trying to let us know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That you got to hear the word of God for you to be born again, for your attitude to be changed from this worldly attitude to the mind of Christ, so that you can have the power to understand what the truth is that God is saying about him. And that is that God wants us to be so convinced that our heart will understand the truth through the Holy Spirit. God starts to give us heart knowledge, not just head knowledge. And I'm afraid that that's what a lot of folk who say they're Christians have. They still have an understanding of love for the world. They got a mind for Christ because they have information about him. They read the scriptures. They know about him. They know about the historical Jesus, but they don't know him. They don't know him by their hearts being opened by the truth. This thing that only comes through faith and this grace, this thing of being saved. It says you're saved by faith through grace. And that word for grace means God had to move in you to move that old way of thinking out. See, grace means God's hand moving. God had to move it. To be born again from above means God had to move your way of thinking, your way of understanding out of the way, so that the substance of God, the flow, this sincere, concrete knowledge of who God is, gets into your soul, into your spirit, and saves you. Makes you able to change your mind. Makes you able to live the life of Christ. Makes you able even to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that God can give you power, love, and a sound mind. These are the things that have to take place. And what I'm saying is this to you today is that I believe a lot of people, and don't get me wrong now, don't think this is spiritual speculation. I really believe that when many of us get saved, when we say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, their lips move and say this, that they are saved. But many of us, when we get saved, we're still what I would call carnal Christians. And a carnal Christian cannot serve God with the power that is needed to be able to be used so that we can be discipled and then given our purpose. In other words, what I'm saying is that a lot of us are saved Christians, but we haven't been born again. Oh, wow. Okay, little preacher. Well, I tell you, let's do this. Let's go to, as I said before, let's go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Okay? Are you with me? You haven't turned me off yet, have you? Okay, very good. I'm glad you're hanging with me. Romans chapter 12, y'all hear my pages turning, okay? So y'all know that I'm doing this from the Bible. I'm not just speaking this from the top of my head. All right, let's look at the premise is this, that you can be saved, but not born again. And he said you must be born again. So it means that there's a process. Something has to happen between that time, maybe, to the point where we are born again. Where we have believeth and allowed God to come in our heart. Now, you know the scriptures in Matthew that talk about in Matthew 7, 1 and 2, and Matthew 6, and all through there, it talks about a guy who built his house, but it wasn't upon the rock. But he also talks about, and then it talks about us asking and seeking and knocking, and we, when we will receive God and know him, when we seek him with our whole heart. But there's one that says, Lord, I think it's Matthew 7:1, didn't I exorcise demons out of people? Didn't I preach the word? And this, I'm paraphrasing. Didn't I do this and didn't I do that? And it says that Jesus' rebuttal to him was, get away from me. I never knew you. In other words, you never allowed me to come into your heart. So it means God's word can work even with people who might be carnal Christians, who those who are saved but not truly born again. Because his word is true. And when you speak his word still does what it's supposed to do. It still saves people. But you might not be saved. And you're saying, oh, Pastor Todd, don't challenge me like it. Well, I'm going to say, look at Romans 12 and verse 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now that beseeches, like he said, I'm begging you, I'm begging you. This is Paul talking to the Roman Christians who are guilty of this same thing. You read that in Romans chapter 2. He says, he jacks him up. Don't forgive me for my Christian ebonics, but he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's just deal with this verse right here. Our bodies, when we first get saved, a lot of us, as I said, are carnal. In other words, we allow our bodies to make decisions that our spirit should make. When we are truly filled with the Spirit of God, our spirit is guided by the Holy Spirit and helps us to discipline ourselves. We have the power now to become disciples, to become disciplined disciples. But until then, we are guided by our flesh, carnal Christians, led by, you know, we just don't have the power to be able to resist a lot of things. Maybe we can do it with our willpower, but that's still, but when we become disciples, it ought to be easy for us to be led by the Holy Spirit. But the enmity, the problem is that we have not given our whole self over as a sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Our reasonable service is to surrender our wills to God. You want to make God happy? Surrender your will so he can lead, guide, and direct your path. That's what he wants to do, because he has things for us to do. Already. He has a blueprint for our spiritual life once we are born again and have invited the Holy Spirit to come in and take. In other words, we give our whole life over to God. We give our whole heart to him, our spirit to him, so that he can lead us. Otherwise, there's a clashing of our spirit and with the flesh as God, you know, and that's why He wants to know for sure whether you really know him, if you really have sought him with your whole heart. And then when you do that, your whole heart is just open. A lot of times our mind is open. We believe what the gospel says with our mind, but he's trying to change our heart. And once our hearts hear the truth, really hear the truth. And when does that happen? Grace. God's got to move that truth into your spirit. And means you're born from above. God has to move into your life and change your heart. Your heart is miraculously open from the inside. It's like Alibaba said, open sesame. The Holy Spirit then opens that heart up. And bam, the Spirit of God goes right in, because you have released the lock. He's able to come in and infiltrate you now, which is with power, love, and a sound mind, and make you able to be able to walk that walk and talk that talk as God disciples you through the Holy Spirit to be like Jesus. Verse 2, and be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why I say sometimes there's a process. I think, you know, it takes 9 months for a baby to be born, but sometimes for a Christian to be reborn, we don't know, it could take 6 months, 9 months if they truly give themselves over to seeking God with their whole heart. I mean, I think it says in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. You got saved, you heard his voice, Even the disciples, were they saved? But they weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things that they didn't know, they didn't do, and Christ was still there with them. But yet and still, he's still trying to bring them to a full knowledge of who he is. But it didn't happen until they got to Pentecost. So what I'm saying to you is this: until you truly trust the Lord and seek him with your whole heart, when you find out that you can't live the Christian life through your own power, through your flesh, or your human nature, flesh is another word for human nature. Your human nature, your mind, your rationality, your thought life, your even preaching, you know, your oratory. It might sound good, but it'll fall flat as day-old beer if it's not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. But yet it still can do what it can do if you use his word. God's word is what transforms us. And that's what it says here. You got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to let the truth of God totally, through your surrender, because God is a gentle person. He won't override you. He won't take anything from you. He wants you to receive him and accept him and trust him that with your mind. And then he goes down. He makes that 18-inch migration south to your heart. And once he's in your heart, ain't nothing you can't do. You got all the power you need. You have the power of Christ right here on earth. You have his authority and his power, and he can use you now as he teaches you and shows you, and as you allow him to lead you through the Holy Spirit. Good and acceptable, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's our job here, to outline and show people what God's will is, and that the Lord can, so he can use them. So we disciple one another. We help one another to get to that point and that place in our lives where God can truly use us. And then what happens to us? Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Y'all, you there? It says, therefore, if any man, this is a standalone verse too, so I'm not proof texting or taking anything out of context. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All right. What the Lord wants you to learn, that one day it will happen to you, it says in verse 20. Now then you will become an ambassador for Christ. Amen. As though God did beseech you, as if God is the one that placed you there and begged for you and got you to the point now where you can be used by him to reconcile sinners back to God. And that's what we're here for, the ministry of reconciliation. We pray that in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. No longer enemy, we are reconciled to him. We can be used by him. We can represent him because we kept seeking him with our whole heart to the point where now we are a new creature or a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We think like Christ. We walk like him. We talk like him. We even look like him in the spirit world. We look like him. And that's why demons flee and are afraid of you now. And when you command them to flee, they go. Because you have now love, power, and a sound mind. You have believed in him with your whole heart. And you have surrendered your heart so that he can infiltrate you and move all that mess out of your human nature so you can become a new creation. You might not see it now, but you are a spirit creature now. You might not understand it or know it, but you just have to believe it and then know it and then do it with his spirit and his power. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Fill us now with your Holy Spirit. Lord, don't let us just be those who have not allowed you to enter into our heart. But Lord, we have proven you and now know that we have been born again. It's in Jesus' name we pray. They'll know us by our fruit and our actions. Amen.